Today is our Christ Day, and so I'm going to presume that we're all identifying ourselves as Christ. That means we have about 165 individuals who are saying, today, I am Christ. And with that assumption, we'll have to live in the kingdom of heaven. Our words, our attitudes, our activities, as far as we can control them, will be Christ actions, Christ words. It might impose quite a strain on you because you can't act too quickly. You might feel that if I act too quickly, I'll do something human. But that's not the case. You'll find that your activities will be guided, and they will run more smoothly. It will be as if you had graduated from law to grace. Things slide effortlessly along. As long as you don't look back or look ahead, but just do what you're given to do at the moment you're given to do it, you'll find you're living a charmed life. At this instant, we're meeting, we're talking, we're listening. And in this split second is the only second that God speaks to you. When that second is gone, if you turn to the past or the future, you're signing off from God. It's a habit you'll develop, because you'll notice the difference is clear cut. When I am living in the now, not in the past, not in the future, not an hour ago or not an hour from now, but in the split second, God is my voice, my life, my everything. The split second is when God comes to you. You'll find that proven as you develop the capacity to live in the present split second. So that 24 hours a day becomes as many split seconds as there are in a day. Your split seconds, one after the other after the other, keep you on the straight and narrow. And you'll be surprised how grace will function in your life. The law makes you subject to the rules of matter, and they go from one extreme to another. They contradict each other. And they make of you a prisoner within the material body. The law of grace is very different. You don't realize it when you're acting within the law of grace, that you're not in a material body. You don't think of it. You don't think of bodies. But in the law of grace, you are living in a spiritual body. And when it's called to your attention, you discover something that has been true all along. The ground is hardly under your feet. You're walking about 3 feet above the ground, it seems. There's no effort to anything. You're just doing things, but something else is doing them for you. And when you reach that stage where the wonder of it seeps through into your life, where you know that I've got to have something over here right now, and then it appears there, as you begin to get these subtle feelings of anything can happen here, but it will all be controlled. It will all be under divine control. And as you feel this subtle guidance, like you've turned on something automatic, then whatever you do under that influence is a God activity that will be bearing fruit. And it will bear fruit in such a way that you will be achieving things you hadn't planned that day. They'll just keep mounting up and mounting up until you're in a new plateau. You won't know what's coming next. Just as you didn't know what was coming an hour ago. But something took care of it. And it was dispatched rather easily and well. And now something's already happening for you. And every second is happening in a divine harmony. Then you're aware of it. You're just watching things go on around you. Your hands are moving. Your legs are moving. Sometimes it's still. Then your body moves. But you don't move it. You're aware you're not moving it. Something is moving you. And then you say, can it be that Christ is living my life? It can be, and it is. And the reason Christ is living your life is because you are Christ. You've attained that level which is not personal, which is not ego, the impersonal life. But you're still what you were. People still look at you and call you by the same name. But you've changed motors. Your motor now has more power, more direction, more finality. It has authority. And it isn't imposing its authority on anyone. Not by might. Not by power, but by my spirit. What is this wonderful thing called spirit that operates below the eye level? But it operates with total love, total harmony, in any situation, and you have nothing to do with it. You're like riding on the crest of a wave. And then you'll know you're in spirit. And spirit doesn't come about by your effort, by your physical effort, or by your brain power. It's that extra dimension that provides all sorts of activities that somehow just go in and out and weave a structure all independent of you. Suddenly you realize that you're not in time. I haven't been aware of time. The road before you is straightened out. The bumps are out of it. Spirit is your guide and your companion and your being. A day like that, and you sit back and wonder, how did it happen? What kind of a day? How can I duplicate it? They're all going to be that way eventually. And things that no man can accomplish in that normal day are accomplished by the spiritual man. Without effort, without looking forward or back. Just following the need of the moment. And there's a continuity. There are no gaps. Everything is fulfilled in divine order. The law changes to grace. And when it's working with you, it makes possible a new way of life that never tires you out. That's the spiritual way. And when you try to describe it, it's sort of sand falling through your hands. When the Christ stood before the banquet and there was no wine, there were 6 jugs of wine, of water rather, and the 7th jug the water went through each one and came out in the 7th as wine. That was a perfect symbology of the 7 stages you're going through. It starts as water. It ends as wine. As you go through the flesh, in the water pots, the flesh has changed. And lo, it isn't flesh at all. It comes out spirit. Now our goal is to find this delicate automation called grace, which regulates the universe of God. And when you're nestled in it, you have no responsibility for your life. God lives God's life. And it appears as you. So you know, God's life doesn't die. It appears in a new form, and then a new form, and then a body of light. Each transposition lifts you into a higher level, and each one is made possible by the level you're in. You now are building your next body. Christ is weaving your garment. And unless you let Christ weave your garment, your next body will be the same as the one it is now. The same caliper, the same plane. Your body must be in accord with the plane you're in. A mortal cannot live on the fifth plane. That's why we slowly find ourselves changing bodies, because the fifth plane demands an immortal body. From the fifth plane on, you'll never see mortality again. Before you enter the fifth plane, you will have a fairly good feeling about where you're going and why. A fairly good feeling about, I don't have to be concerned about it. It's being handled by the Father. But your mind will not be there. It will not be a mind, because the mind is excess baggage. Your Christ mind will be there. And it will always outpicture Christ activity. And then there will be a period in which you are prepared to receive your spirit. And when you receive your spirit, at that moment you have been purified of all earthly desires, all earthly hopes, all fleshly ideas, everything that would make you a single individual in search of something, so that what you seek and what someone else seeks would be different, and it's not going to be that way. We're all moving in the same direction. The only thing we seek is our spiritual body after we have found our soul body. And then our spirit and soul will co-create the full identity of the Son of God. Everything you do now makes possible the fulfillment in the now of seeing that you are the complete whole Christ. Every little thing you do that will not be part of the Christ is unreal. And it will be burned away by the furnace. They always use that expression of the furnace. Well, whatever we don't need in our future home as the Christ is burned away. And so you start cooperating rather than waiting to find out, Christ doesn't need that third home. Christ doesn't need this fourth car. Christ doesn't need this. Christ doesn't need that. You become quite simple, it appears. Because the Christ already has everything the Christ needs. And then you start to say, well, if the Christ has everything the Christ needs, and I am the Christ, then I have. Doesn't look at it in my life, but I must have. And then you start to realize that the things you don't see, you have. And your entire attitude changes. You're not seeking those things. You're not seeking to acquire. You have. You remember the blind man? He didn't know he had sight. But he was thinking of physical sight. Christ showed us that the sight was in him. Everything that you need but don't see, you have. Because Christ has everything. Christ is complete, whole. And I, being Christ, am complete, whole. You must fill the difference with faith. The knowledge that Christ has everything, I am the Christ, and then grace becomes your ally. The grace that produces what it needs when it needs it, but you don't have it before the grace does it. This is what happens as you go along and permit the Spirit of God to fill your whole being. You find that grace picks everything out of the infinite and deposits it at your door. You don't have a single moment without. But that's only after you've attained that degree of grace, which is the law of heaven operating. Nothing is ever missing. And if you can summon enough faith until it happens, you will find that your life is always filled. There's no room for doubt. We worry about the wrong things. The things we worry about, the things we think we need, are not the things we need. Because when we have grace living our lives, that's when we have the things we need. We know not what our needs are. All we know is about our material needs, our material wants. But the real needs, the needs that come and are fulfilled by the Spirit, are already established. Right now, everyone in this room is complete in Christ. If they have Christ. If they are asleep to Christ, naturally that appears as a lack, a deficiency. But there's no deficiency in Christ, and if you're awake and accepting Christ, then the you that needs these things is not there. And that's when all things are accomplished effortlessly. Let's see if we can feel the power of grace operating in our lives. It will operate strongly or weakly depending on whether or not Christ is uppermost in your consciousness. You are aware of Christ. You know what Christ can do, and you know that Christ can do it at an instant. And then you finally know that Christ has done all the things Christ must do for perfection. Paul was an exponent of eternal life. He was aware that eternal life was his. He was aware that his students had to learn it. And he was aware that every student had the capacity to learn that eternal life was the only life in the universe. Anything else was a counterfeit. Now, when you live eternal life, you don't attain eternal life. It just is the kind of life you live. So that we live eternally because eternal life is like a commodity. That's the nature of life, to be eternal. Just as we've accepted temporary life, now we learn to accept eternal life. Eternal life is the nature of the essence of God, the Spirit. It is not the nature of material. And graduating from material to the essence or Spirit of God, we graduate from temporary life to permanent life. Once touching eternal life, that's the nature of our life forever. There's no one here who won't attain eternal life. And when we know that, when it's part of our being that eternal life is the nature of the life that I am, we refuse to wear the temporary life over us as if we've got to do something to be eternal. The temporary life drops away. We simply exist in what we are. I am eternal life. There's no fuss. I didn't have to become good to be eternal life. It is what God granted each of us. And then when you accept it, all the limitations that temporary life place upon you are renounced. They all burst like a bubble. Think of the many things you do because you think your life is temporary. Do you feel your life in other realms now? Do you know that it is in other realms now? As you feel your sense of body in this realm, if you were, let's say, an airplane pilot, you would be aware that the atmosphere is always there in the sky, and the atmosphere is slightly different than it is on the earth. just as a deep sea diver knows that the temperature, the densities, the pressures are different underneath the water. They are above in the sky. But you're not in them right now, and yet you can feel this on the basis of your past experience, perhaps. We're not in eternal life to the visible, but you can feel the nature of it. And when you touch this truth within yourself, that the essence of God that I am coming into here is precisely what the essence of God is in the kingdom of God. I'm feeling it at this level, and when I feel it at a higher level, it feels differently. But I'm aware of something at that higher level that I will one day discover that I am in now. And when I enter this higher realm, it's like entering what I already have a knowledge of. So we are slowly being built into that knowledge of what eternal life is. Now then, with this somewhat awareness of eternal life as my present life now, I can live now a little differently than I thought I could. And if I don't know how, the Christ knows how. And the Christ, knowing that I must live on this higher level, prepares me in a way that I cannot prepare myself. Christ does everything necessary. It transmutes all of your understanding, all of your beliefs. It prepares the way for you. If things feel strange but wonderful, that's part of your preparation. So that when you say, "Now I am ready," something in you will tell you that the Spirit has completed the preparation. You can now walk into the kingdom of God. That day is inevitable, that moment. A long time before you arrive, you have the feeling of being transported to another realm. But you won't be going anywhere. The elevator of your consciousness will be rising. Something comes along in your life and you can't do it. You just can't do it. Relax a moment and know that the Christ of your being can do it. And learn to drop the feelings of mortality that rise up when tasks become too difficult. And learn that Christ can absorb every demand made upon it, provided the demand is a spiritual one. Anything you request is already on the waves of spirit before you request it. and the answer is coming back to you before the request gets out of your mouth. Sometimes you haven't the ability to see the answers right in the airwaves around you. But always, the thing you need is being placed before you in the invisible via the Christ, ever attentive to every need. I hope you're getting to know that you're a very special being. And that you are so important that a table has been reserved for you. And you must find a way to prove worthy of being at the table of Christ. Everyone who sits at this table is at the Lord's Last Supper. Even though only a few were there, we are all to be invited. We will be given every need met. The bread will be passed around, and we will discover that it is the life of Christ as a symbol. We will discover that in that life there is my soul and my soul and my soul. We are all part of the bread of life. Each one has a built-in miracle worker. You must learn to trust it. It won't turn itself on or off because it's running through eternity. A new relationship begins between the Son and the Father. And the Son goes forth completely secure in the fact that the Father's love accompanies him wherever he goes. That must be your sign that you live in the kingdom. No matter where you go or what you do, the love of God goes with you. And you must show forth that love to be worthy of being the Son. You can't hide it. Everyone becomes a pure channel for the love of God. Remember, when you face your patient, never think of yourself as being alone to do the job. you're going to a patient who needs the love of God, and you are that envoy, there's nothing can stop it from flowing from you into the patient, awakening the love that is already in him. And coming forth as an individual who has been healed by some power that he knows not of, but which you know is the love of Christ. Why would sinners be healed if God had not forgiven them their love? Through his love, he has forgiven them. When a sinner is healed, God is showing you that in the spirit of Christhood, which is in a man, how could Christ be in a sinner? How could Christ be in a murderer? But Christ is the center of everyone's being. Do the same. Forgive as the Father forgives. Love as the Father loves. Be with each individual a light, a treasure, a sign of God present. And let that individual walk away healed by God. Now the world won't know what's coming at them, but this is a love army. This is a divine effort